We're in a series looking at the letter 1 Peter. So I'm glad that if you're visiting with us, that you're with us this morning. And don't worry, you're not getting in on the middle of the movie. We'll catch you up as best we can. There is so much in this wonderful letter. What we're going to do this morning, the text that we're looking at actually kind of goes back to, it overlaps with what we read last week, because there's a point in there that I want us to focus on a little bit more. So what we've seen so far in this wonderful letter we call 1 Peter is that we are chosen by God and we're saved by the blood of Jesus. He makes that very clear. And this is something that is very important. Those are things that have been done, but he also says we are being sanctified by the Holy Spirit. It's something that continues to go on so we can obey what Jesus taught. We are being enabled by the Holy Spirit to be obedient. So that, and all of that, we have also been given a new birth, he says. We have been born from above. We have an unperishable inheritance that is protected in heaven. We are shielded by God's power there. We're going to suffer. We're going to be tested. People are going to break our "What Would Jesus Do" bracelet. I love that story. But he says in here that that's just proving that we are genuine followers of Jesus. Doesn't mean we're always going to pass the test, but failing the test points us back to the cross. It points us back to where our hope and our assurance is and reminds us of how we are being saved. And then he says that's what should fill us with joy as our salvation is being received, a present tense, ongoing kind of thing. And in light of all of that stuff we saw last week, he calls us to be holy, which is a tall order. It's hard to do. Why are we called to be holy? Because God is holy. And we're not supposed to conform to our old evil desires, he says. We're supposed to live differently. And Peter reminds us in verse 17 that we are to live as foreigners here. Strangers, resident aliens. So I want to read for us the words from 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 17 through 25, which are also in your bulletin. Since you call on a Father who judges each person's work impartially, live out your time as foreigners here in reverent fear. For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Jesus, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him, you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him, so your faith and hope are in God. Now that you've been purified, or you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for each other, love one another deeply from the heart. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. For all people are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fail, but the word of God endures forever. And this is the word that was preached to you. We're overlapping again, as I said, the text, because I wanted us to look more at what it means to be a foreigner or a stranger living in this world. It's not something new. Paul said it in Philippians 3:20, actually backing up to verse 17. He said, "Join together in following my example, brothers and sisters, and just as you have us, the apostles, as a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. For as I have often told you before, and I'm now telling you again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ." And boy, do we know that today, as Justin said. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach. They just do what fills them up, what makes them feel good. And their glory is in their shame. Their mind is set on earthly things. Here's the part that really drives it home. But our citizenship is in heaven, And we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. If you've ever visited a foreign country, you know what it's like. It's different when you're there. It just has a different feel. And it may be a beautiful place that you're visiting on vacation and you like it. But it's just not home. It's not your house. It's not your surroundings. It's not your language. So many things about it that are just different. You may enjoy being there, but you don't quite fit in. And because it's not home, you don't worry about a lot of the things that the locals do. You don't worry about the politics locally as long as you're safe on your vacation. You don't worry about taxes, property taxes, income taxes, inflation rate, exchange rate, all that kind of stuff. Well, you want to make sure that your money is going to be good there. And you certainly don't get bent out of shape over their elections. Why? Because you know you're not going to be there forever. It's a short-term thing. You know that you're going to be going home soon. We need a constant reminder, and this letter is just another one of those reminders, that this world is not our home. We tend to forget that. We live here as strangers, and we may be given a long time here, but we're just in exile, resident aliens, foreigners, waiting to cross that Jordan like we talked about. Paul also said in Colossians 3, another place where he talked about being strangers, he said, "You, believers, Christians, followers of Jesus, have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above." That's the place of your birth. Set your heart on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above. That's home. Not on earthly things. For you died when you were baptized. And your life is now hidden with Christ in God. And we know that Christ is at the right hand of God. And so he says, set your mind there. So what Peter says to us today about being strangers is not new. We're living as foreigners here. It's not just a reminder that this world is not our home. It's a command to live in a way that shows it. That's the difference. We can remind ourselves, yeah, okay, I remember this is not our home. But am I living differently? Am I living like the locals, or am I living as a citizen of heaven? And I put in your bulletin some characteristics that Peter lists for us today of that we can pull from this text of what a citizen of heaven should look like. It says, number one, that a citizen of heaven lives in reverent fear. Now, your idea of fear here, you might need to kind of check that a little bit. When some things we fear and we run away from them. If I see a snake, I'm going in the opposite direction. If a bear is coming after me, I'm going to run really hard. But this is not that kind of fear. It's not a fear that causes us to run away from God. It's a fear that causes us to run to Him. It's holy respect. It's a fear of letting God down. I don't want to disappoint my Heavenly Father. I don't want to hurt my God. And I know, if I'm honest with myself, that my sin is painful to Him. When I rebel and I go against His word, it hurts Him. It's what nailed Jesus to the cross. It's the reason He had to give His life for us. That's a different kind of fear. I don't want to do that. And I also have a fear of missing out on being with Him in eternity. It's going to be such a wonderful thing. Gathering with you and singing and coming together around the table celebrating Lord's Supper, as beautiful as that is, it's just a little taste of what it's going to be like. I don't want to miss that. Proverbs reminds us that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, the beginning of wisdom and understanding. It's the foundation for the life of a citizen of heaven, remembering who we belong to and having a reverent fear for our God. He tells us also the second thing, that a citizen of heaven has been born again or redeemed. And we've talked about this. We've been born from above, as Jesus told Nicodemus. Our citizenship is in heaven. That's where we were born. That is home for us because we have been reborn. It is the basis for natural citizenship. He says we have been redeemed, which is a word we don't use a lot anymore, but basically it just means you've been bought back. You've been purchased. You belong to somebody else. And God stepped in and bought you back. And I can't help but think of the book of Hosea, which is such a beautiful story. It's painful to read, but it is such a true depiction of what our lives were like. Hosea the prophet was told by God to marry an adulterous woman. Gomer was her name, and she was unfaithful. She bore children that were not Hosea's, and he could see it when he looked at them. And it was a reminder to him of what the people's rebellion against God feels like to him, the pain that he felt. Gomer was so far gone in life that she ran away and was living a life as a prostitute. And she ended up becoming a slave. And when she was worn out to the point where nobody wanted anything to do with her, she was sold on the auction block, and Hosea bought her back at a discounted price because nobody really wanted her. We've been bought back from the slave auction too. We've been bought back from belonging to Satan. And when he was done with us and thought we were all worn out and we were in his wastebasket, Jesus stepped in and paid a very high price for us to buy us back. We have been redeemed. That right there is enough that should mean I should live a very different life in this world. The third thing he tells us is that a citizen of heaven believes in God. Now that may seem rather rudimentary and elementary to you. Like, really? We believe in God? But he says something a little bit more here. It's through Jesus that we believe in God. It's more than just believing in a higher power, more just believing in a creator or some intelligent design or some distant God kind of figure. He's reminding us that Jesus came here as God in the flesh. And Jesus, as he told us, is that if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Through him, we believe in God. Now, people on the earth saw Jesus. He walked and lived among them. He was a man. He got hungry and tired and did all the things that people do without sinning, of course. And people saw him. We didn't see him physically, but through the stories that we have recorded for us, we can see him in our minds. And the people who saw Jesus, he said, you've seen the Father. We see him in our minds through the stories recorded in the Gospels. And through that, we see the Father and we believe even more. Yes, Hebrews says that faith is about the things that we can't see, but God was gracious enough to give us some glimpses of the Father. We see him and we believe. The fourth thing it says is that citizens of heaven obey the truth. This is the hard one, as Wayne said. Jesus told us, he said, if you love me, you'll keep my commands. And of course, Jesus took those Old Testament commands to a new level. He said, you've heard it said that you shall not murder. You've heard it said that you shall not commit adultery. But he says, I tell you that if you get angry at your brother, you're guilty of murder. I tell you that if you look at someone with lust, that you're guilty of adultery. He's taking it to a whole new level, making it even more difficult, raising the bar. But we also see over and over, and 1 Peter talks about it as well, that the Holy Spirit living in us enables us to come more closely to mirroring the life of Jesus. He enables us and transforms us into the image of Christ if we will let him. Jesus said, again, if you love me, you'll keep my commands. And we've got to know those commands. Psalm 119, was the longest psalm in the Bible, is all about the love of the Word of God. It's a beautiful psalm. And if you want some place to just spend some time, start reading in Psalm 119. Psalm 119 talks not just about learning the Word, but about living it and loving it. And we've been reminded of the Holy Spirit and some of the scriptures that we've looked at on Wednesday night, that God's word is more than just words on a page. They are words that have been written on our hearts. You know, you can take a Bible and you can throw it away. You can burn it. You can get rid of it however you want to. But it does not change the fact that the words of God were spoken by him. They are not just words on a page. They are words that came from his mouth. They are words that came through the Holy Spirit, and they will endure forever. And we'll see more about that here in just a minute. And they are written in our hearts. Believing those words is just the beginning. It leads us into action. Our faith, as we saw all through the book of James, is all about action. And this action is, again, is enabled by the Holy Spirit. So obeying the gospel really just begins at baptism. That's a phrase that we use to talk about baptism. They obeyed the gospel. Really, they just started to obey the gospel. There's much more to follow. The fifth thing that we take from this text today, it says that a citizen of heaven loves others deeply, especially other citizens of heaven. It's not a fake love. It's a real and sincere love. It is a deep and loyal devotion. That word devotion, I always think of Acts chapter 2, how it talks about that early church and what they were like and how they were devoted to each other. They took care of each other. They made sure that each other's needs were met. We make allowances for each other's faults because we have faults, and I need you to make allowances for mine, and I will make allowances for yours. And we put each other's interests above our own. And we have to recognize and remind each other that we are not citizens of this country. We are expatriates, if you will. And if you've ever been to a foreign country for any time, or if you've read about or watched things, you know that a lot of times in foreign countries where lots of people from one country are gathered, they will gather together and they will support each other. It's happened in this country. You go to the major cities and you'll find Little Italy. You'll find Chinatown. You'll find enclaves of people who are like-minded and they share a heritage and they want to stick together. We should be the same way. That's why we have been blessed with a church family. To stick together and remind ourselves of the things that do matter, the things that are important, and remind ourselves that the world is crazy and it's upside down, as Justin said, and we have to come here to relearn and reorient ourselves, reset our compass by the Word of God, and know what is right and what is wrong. And that leads to the last point, the sixth point. A citizen of heaven trust in the Word of God. That's what we set our compass by. That's what we live by. We believe the Word. Not just parts of it. We believe all of it. We don't discount parts of it. We can't tear parts of it out. We believe it all. And I know, you know, I dare say that everyone here believes in the Word. But again, that belief is more than just an intellectual thing. It's about, do we trust it? Do I trust the Word of God, or do I trust other things in my life? I believe your word, God. I believe you and I trust you and I follow you. But I'm going to hang on to this over here as well. Do we hang on to things that don't last? I read a story this week about a lawyer in Toronto. It was 1993 and he was giving some students a tour of his high-rise office building. I think he was one of the named partners in this firm. And one of the things he was most proud of in this high-rise building was the unbreakable glass that was in the windows. And he had given several tours before, and he wanted to demonstrate to these students how strong this unbreakable glass was. And so he would always go up and hit that glass. And this time he went up and he put his shoulder into it, threw himself up against the glass. Didn't break. He'd done it several times, apparently, over the years, showing different people on these tours. And today he decided to do it a second time. But this time the window glass didn't break, but the window came out of the frame. Yeah. And he fell many floors to his death, to the horror of all the people who were on the tour. The glass didn't break, but the window frame gave away. He trusted in something he thought would endure and something that would last. And tragically, it ended his life. Now, I don't mean to make light of that poor man's circumstances and his decision, but it reminds me of how I tend to lean on things in this life when I should really completely trust in the Word of God. We lean on things that we think are going to get us through life, right? It could be your career, or if you just have a regular job. Maybe you've got some money saved up. You've got 401k and IRA and maybe you've got some stock investments, or maybe you're just living paycheck to paycheck. It doesn't matter. If that's what you're depending on, it's eventually going to fail you. Maybe it's a relationship you have with somebody. Yeah, but hey, I'm related to them. I work for them. What happens if they're out of the picture? Where are you? All of those things that we tend to lean on in this life are eventually going to fail us, or they're going to go away. And they certainly won't do us any good when our time here is up. Proverbs 3:5 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and don't lean on your own understanding." We tend to lean on our own understanding. I do. And I have to go back and find the Word of God and reorient myself frequently. Don't lean on anything in life except God's Word. Yes, you can work, do all those things, but remember, those are temporary. Those are things that are going to fade like the grass fades. Everything else withers, just like the grass is withering right now in the heat of West Texas. It looked great a few months ago. It was beautiful, green. And now it's getting, you know, it starts to get a little pale yellow, starts turning brown, and now it crunches under your feet. It's here today and gone tomorrow. Now, I know that some days it seems like the people in this world who are completely given over to the ways of the world and just lost, far gone, they seem to be doing really well, even prospering. And if you're reading the news, keeping up with social media, you can't help but see it. Peter also reminds us, as he quotes from Isaiah 40, hey, they're just like grass. All their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flower fails, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Or like our call to worship says, their God is their stomach. They just do what makes them feel good, and it's going to catch up with them. Psalm 37 says, don't worry about them. Don't envy them who do wrong. It uses the same language. Like grass, they're going to fade away. Proverbs 24 says also, don't worry about the evildoers. Don't envy the wicked. Evil people have no future. The light of the wicked will be snuffed out. My child, fear the Lord and King. We're reminded all through Scripture of where our focus should be. And it should be on Him, not on the things of this world that we tend to lean on. So don't try to build your legacy on things that don't matter or won't matter 100 years from now. That's a great test to say. You know, when you want to fight about something, say, will this matter 100 years from now? Then maybe we shouldn't be fighting about it. If it's not going to matter 100 years from now, maybe I shouldn't be spending too much time and effort on it. Jesus said, don't store up treasures here because it's going to rot away. Even your money is going to rot. Things are going to rust and rot just like cheap vacation souvenirs when you're away. I thought about this, and the last time I made a trip to Mexico, it was for 2 weeks. I was going deep south Mexico, and so I was going to be gone for 14 days, so I got $1,400, and I converted that into pesos, and I wanted to do it before the trip so I didn't get robbed on the exchange rate of the airport. So I sent some money to a national bank chain, I wired it to them, $1,400, and they sent me back the equivalent in Mexican pesos, and I'd had it distributed across so it would be easy to spend. And I got this box back from FedEx. And, you know, I'm like, first of all, I was surprised that they sent it through FedEx. But when I opened it up, I was even more surprised. It looked like a bunch of Monopoly money. All this multicolored cash, but it was all in Mexican pesos. And I felt like some kind of drug mule going across the border with this satchel full of money. I couldn't carry it in my wallet. I'm carrying all this play money around with me to last me throughout the trip for, you know, $100 a day. I'm like, that's going to be plenty. Surely it's going to be plenty. And it was. We bought food and, you know, hotel rooms and things like that, gas along the way. But the weird thing about it was just, it had no sway over me. It wasn't U.S. greenbacks. It wasn't $100 bills. It was just play money. And it didn't hold any sway over me. I wasn't enamored by it. And so it was easy to let go of. I made a plan that I was going to spend it all or give it away before I left. And I did. At the end of that trip, I probably had, you know, enough Mexican pesos to fit in my wallet. So why do I get so infatuated with those greenbacks? Or why do I get so infatuated with the number of digits that are in my bank account online? Even if your paper bills don't rot away, you know all too well that inflation is chipping away at the account balance that you've got online right now. Think about it. What did a $100 bill look like when you were a child? You remember seeing a $100 bill when you were little? That was some big change, man. Now it's the new $20 bill. It's just $100 bill. Well, that'll get you some gas and lunch. That's the way we need to be reminded. That stuff is just going to rot and go away. Build your legacy not on the money or the finances in your life, not on your own strength, as one of the songs that we sang talked about, but build your legacy on the Word of God, because it's never going to pass away. It's never going to decrease in value. In fact, the older you get, we can all attest, the more important it is going to be to you. The Word of God is true now, and it'll be true when we get to the river to go on the other side and go home. You will never regret standing on the Word of God. So as citizens of heaven, we should live differently than the world around us. We happen to live here now for a while, but we need to remember this is not home. We are exiles, strangers, resident aliens, and foreigners. And we should kind of stand out like tourists. We should look like the guy from Texas who's in Paris, has got his Hawaiian shirt on and the camera around his neck, right? Wearing the boots. Look a little different than the locals. We should have a reverent fear of God. We should live like a person who knows they have been redeemed from an empty way of life that he talked about, not someone trying to hang on to that life. We should believe God with all of our heart, because what we know about Jesus and what he has shown us about the Father, and we should obey his word. We should love each other deeply, care for each other sincerely, and we should stand on his word, relying on it as our guide in everything that we do. So let's set our minds and keep them set on things above. Will you pray with me, please?